Thank you, Ryan. It's Bill Left. It's Wendy Snyder. Glad that you're listening. On Fridays, we check in with our friend Alexander Zeldman. He is the managing editor of Decider.com. Alex, it's been a couple weeks. Everything good?
Yeah, it's great. Happy New Year to you guys.
Good to talk to
Happy
you again.
Happy New Year.
Yep. Happy New Year. Alex, Wendy and I were talking about this Netflix movie, The Bird Box. We were talking about it yesterday, and we were being very, very careful because we don't want to divulge too much information. But this thing is the biggest hit in the history of Netflix, isn't it?
It's bananas how big it is. For those who don't know, although I imagine everybody has seen it several times at this point, it stars Sandra Bullock. It's a post-apocalyptic thriller in the meld of A Quiet Place and other things like that. And Netflix never releases viewing numbers, never, to the ultimate frustration of every entertainment journalist. But they sent out a tweet over the holiday week saying 45 million plus accounts watched Bird Box. Now, that's not even specific numbers because, as you know, if you go on Twitter at any point, multiple people are watching on single accounts. So far more people have watched than that. But it's enormous. It's huge. They said it was the first biggest 7-day they've ever had. That's only gained steam from there. It's one of the few Netflix movies I've seen that people are still talking about weeks later at this point.
So here's the question that Wendy and I were trying to figure out. When you look at this movie, it's very suspenseful. It's very scary. It's got big stars in it. Why did it go initially to Netflix instead of the theaters, do you think?
I don't think there's too much of a difference at this point, particularly with the way that Netflix is pushing. If you look at their slate for the upcoming year, they have huge stars on a lot of their movies, huge directors. There's things that, to your point, would be released in theaters any day of the week. But I was actually chatting with people after Bird Box was released a little bit on Twitter about this and found that people, you know, it's easier.
Yeah.
You can just click on Netflix. You can watch it. I think that's a large part of the reason it did debut so huge is because the decision to say, all right, I'm going to watch an hour and a half movie on Netflix while I'm home for the holidays versus planning out the 4 or 5 hours and plunking down the money and making the specific choice to go to the theaters. Just easier to know that. And I think the behind the scenes talent is starting to peak to that as well. Understanding that something like a Bird Box probably would not have done as big over Christmas in a movie theater as it did on Netflix. You just get more people to watch your art.
It was so good. I really enjoyed it. And also on Netflix, the interactive Black Mirror Bandersnatch, that had to help with some of their ratings as well.
Yeah, and that was another huge hit. I mean, the whole holiday season was kind of insane for Netflix. It's funny, usually we take the week off in entertainment journalism and kind of chill out for a little bit, but the stuff that they kept releasing nonstop was pretty intense. And for those of you who haven't watched Black Mirror Bandersnatch, it's essentially a choose-your-own-adventure, but through the dark lens of Black Mirror. So it's really a choose-your-own-adventure about creating a choose-your-own-adventure video game. But the tech behind it is very smooth and very neat, allows you to make split-second choices, but without ever stopping watching the movie. And just based on that, I think people comparing their choices, figuring out, oh, did you go this way or did you go this way? Did you watch all the endings? What order did you watch them in? It was a fun cultural experience to be part of.
Alex, in the past, in movie theaters, they've tried this a couple times where they've let the audience decide how the movie's going to end. They've tried that a couple times. It's not been a huge success. But this is something that in the future could become a bigger thing, right, where a watcher can decide, I want to focus more on this character or this character, or if somebody lives or dies. That could be the future of television, right?
There's definitely a lot of questions about that, and it's actually something Netflix has tried before, mostly with children's programming. There's a couple of other shows they had Choose Your Own Adventure episodes are, and I would caution, I don't think this is going to be every movie or every TV show going forward. The Black Mirror episode, for those of you who did watch it, you know it's very much about that. That's the reason it's a Choose Your Own Adventure episode, is because it's about making Choose Your Own Adventure. So having it in, say, an episode of Ozark, should Jason Bateman sell these drugs or not, is not necessarily going to work the same way. But what we've been hearing a little bit behind the scenes, and there's not a ton of clarity about that, but Netflix seems to be looking at it, for better or for worse, more as data mining, saying, okay, people are making these sort of choices. This is how they're watching this episode. Does that in any way affect you dramatic scripted television show the way that you're going to do these things. And I don't know necessarily how, say, choosing one serial over the other will change the next season right. of Orange is the New Black or anything, but it's certainly something they're looking into.
Now, Bill and I were talking off the air. Bill, you haven't seen Bandersnatch
Not yet.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty good, but I think I was more intrigued with the interactive part of it.
I've
seen other episodes of Black Mirror that were probably better.
Mm-hmm.
It is a standalone, so if you're not up to date on the other ones.
You can watch it still.
But Alex, a weird thing. I was wondering, can you watch it on your TV? Because I watched it on a tablet, so you're able to touch the screen. How does it work on a television where you can choose what serial you'd like?
You can watch it on most things. I believe the exceptions are it doesn't work on Apple TV and it doesn't work on Chromecast because the tech doesn't actually translate properly. But pretty much anything else you can watch on, and we were talking about this in the office the other day, a couple of people checked it out on the PS4 in particular and found that it played exactly like a video game in that case, that you had the rumble pack and the controller that was giving you the feedback as you went through the episode, which definitely changed that viewing experience. But anything else you have, any other device, you should be able to check it out. And as you mentioned, it's a standalone, so it's not the best Black Mirror episode to jump in on, but it's certainly a fun, interesting thing to check out.
Absolutely.
Alex, Wendy and I were talking about this off-air yesterday. If you're on Amazon Prime and you're watching a television show on Amazon Prime, whenever you stop it, whatever actors or actresses are in that scene, it shows you a box and it tells you who's playing what character. I don't know what it is. I know technology is a great thing and we've invented amazing things over the last couple of decades, but that just blows me away. Every day, every time I'm watching a show on Amazon, I'll just pause it and I'll go, oh, that guy. I forgot about that guy. Is that something we can look forward to more in the future?
I love that thing so much. I'm actually blanking on the exact name. It does have a very specific name. X-ray, I think, is what it is, actually.
Wait, Alex, Bill was so cute when he was talking about it. He goes, I don't know if it's just my Amazon Prime account.
I didn't know if everybody
cool
got that.
Thing happens.
And it is called X-ray, and now that explains why it says X-ray on my screen every time, because I was thinking, I got to go in and get X-rays now.
No, it X-rays you. It shows you your bones as you're going through it. It's a wonderful feature. It was one of the main draws of Prime Video when they launched and one of the main ways they were differentiating it. And I find that I like it so much after I go from a Prime Video show to go to a Netflix or a Hulu show. When I pause a Netflix show, I go, there's a split second where I go, wait, why can't I see the information? Oh, that's so helpful.
Or it
would be great. I think they need to figure out a way where they're not straight up copying Prime Video, but having that sort of information, because everybody goes, wait, who was that actor in that thing? To have that on hand for a Prime Video show is delightful.
You know, people forget there was a time where if you turned on your television and a show was midway through, you didn't know what you were watching, who was in it, you didn't know anything. Now, because of cable TV and satellite, you know, you can quickly look at a screen in a box and go, okay, I know what's what. But a generation ago, you were just in the dark until the show was over.
Yeah, and I say the more information, the better. I mean, I know people are very against a second screen experience because it takes you away from looking at the main screen.
Yeah.
But I think it's good. I like sitting on the couch with my wife and both of us saying, wait, do we know that person from that show? And one of us looking it up, telling the other person, and then we can, you know, keep watching.
Yeah.
And I think that's okay. You know, the more information that helps you enjoy and get deeper into the show or the movie, the better.
Yep, agreed. Alexander Zeldman is our guest. He's the managing editor over at Decider.com. We'll pick this up in just a moment. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
We are talking television. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And from Decider.com, the managing editor, Alexander Zeldman. You can follow him on Twitter. I do, A. Zeldman. That's where you find him.
Mm-hmm.
I have been actually able to watch a lot of TV because all the shows I watch are on hiatus right now.
Right.
All the good shows, it's the holiday slump.
Yeah.
When do the new shows start? Is it coming soon?
They're back, Wendy. They're back. TV is back.
You can watch again. Yay. And to prove that it's better than ever.
It's semi unofficially kicked off, I would say, on Wednesday with The Masked Singer. I don't know if you guys watch that over on Fox, but
no.
Oh. that is a ridiculous singing competition, absolutely over the top. People wearing costumes, you have to figure out who they are. Feels like a summer show, but for some reason it's premiering during the winter. But everybody was speculating and talking about that. We had a couple of other game shows premiered yesterday. The Titan Games with The Rock. Elden's Game of Games, I believe, is premiering soon. And then TV, I believe The Blacklist also premiered last night. So things very slowly this week, and then they should be ramping up next week and the week afterwards if you're missing your favorite shows.
Go back to The Masked Singer for just a little bit, because
I've never even heard of this.
They've been running clips for it for the last 2 or 3 weeks, and it finally did premiere a few days ago. So you have 4 stars, much like all the other competition shows on TV. You get 3 or 4 stars, and they're judging a competition. Somebody's up there singing, but they're dressed like a panda bear or a dragon for no reason at all. But then here's one of the criticisms, Alex, and there are many about this show, was that then at the end they only revealed who, I guess, one of the 3 or 4 singers mm-hmm. were. Is that true?
So it's a meld of like a Dancing with the Stars style celebrity sing competition with insane costumes and almost Guess Who, I guess, is the way to think about it. So the first episode, which aired this week, had 6 celebrities going head-to-head, one-to-one, in these crazy costumes, giving clues about themselves. The panelists had to guess who they were, but that didn't seem to be part of the competition. And then they voted for one over the other. The 3 lowest-ranking people in costumes, the celebrities, one of them was eliminated from the competition. It turned out, spoiler, that the person dressed as a giant hippo was Antonio Brown, I believe.
Football player?
Yeah, the football player. And then next week we'll see another 6 disguised celebrities, and slowly by the end of the show they'll reveal who everybody is. The tease is that there are some big A-list celebrities there. I'm a little dubious how A-list everybody's going to be, but it's a ridiculous, fun guessing game.
Who is watching this, and how were the ratings?
The ratings were very good. I'll start with that, first of all. The number one show of Wednesday night. 9.2 million people, I believe, watched it live. And then another 2 million or so, I think, additional over streaming and other things. So you're definitely going to see it for a while. I'm curious to see what's going to happen next week, actually, once the rest of TV is back proper. This still felt like everybody kind of getting warmed up. And you also have the curiosity factor for a show like this on the first week. Everybody was tweeting about it. I know sports fans were interested in the Antonio Brown reveal. I certainly got a lot of folks who are not sports fans on my Twitter saying, "Who?" So if it does turn out to be very C-list, D-list celebs, I don't think I'll have as long a shelf life. But the South Korean version, I believe it was South Korean version, revealed Ryan Reynolds was dressed as a unicorn.
Oh,
so if they do manage to get somebody of that level, I think it'll definitely amp up the interest in the show quite a bit.
But why would someone of that ilk do something like this?
They must have paid him a ton of money, right?
He was promoting Deadpool at the time, and the way that I understand it, the Korean version works differently. It's more a week-to-week thing versus this, which is more an American model. It's more of a long-term commitment. So you're not going to get somebody like a Ryan Reynolds. They were doing a lot of guessing on the first episode, saying, "Ooh, maybe that's Lady Gaga, maybe that's Beyonce." And the reaction from everybody was, "You're not getting Beyonce on this show. I'm sorry, it's not going to happen." But we'll have to see. Maybe it'll pull off a surprise.
It looked like the kind of thing that they would show to a prisoner over and over again to try to make him confess to a crime.
It definitely felt like that at points. I'll tell you what, the patter was my least favorite part of the show. From the host is Nick Ken, Robin Thicke, Ken Jeong, Nicole Scherzinger, and Jerry McCarthy are the panel. Mm-hmm. And they got to get better at the patter. The back and forth there, the guesses, was very awkward. But the performances, just watching people bounce around in these insane costumes to pop songs, that's delightful. It doesn't match with the rest of the show at all, but that makes it watchable. That makes it so weird.
And
it comes around
this.
The bed to being fun.
Frightening. All right, let's talk about Gotham. This is the last season for Gotham. It's coming to an end. The early days of Batman. What can you tell us about the new season?
So there are 12 episodes in the final season. It kicked off last night, and we're finally going to see baby Batman, played by David Mazouz, become Batman proper by the last episode. If you've never checked out the show, if you only vaguely know anything about Batman, It's definitely a deep dive. This is one of the most insane, complicated shows on television. But it's almost like its own season, where Gotham City has been cut off from the rest of the world. There's rival gangs fighting. I've seen the first three episodes, and they're over-the-top insane. Mm. All the villains are finally villains. And the final episode will actually jump ahead about 10 years to show how everybody hooks up to their comic book destinies. And reportedly, will finally show off the Batsuit, which should be fun for fans.
Excellent. Good. And that has already premiered, or it's about to premiere?
It premiered last night, so you can actually stream the episode on Fox Now, and it'll be every Thursday night after that for
Excellent.
The next 12 weeks.
Excellent. The Golden Globe Awards are on Sunday night. It's Andy Samberg and Sandra Oh hosting, right?
That's correct. The dynamic duo themselves are coming back, I guess, for the first time.
Back together.
But it should be a lot of fun. Reportedly, The Lonely Island is doing a lot of work behind the scenes. They're responsible for the digital shorts that Andy Samberg and others were involved in on Saturday Night Live. They've been having a lot of fun with it on Twitter and on social media. And the Golden Globes is always the boozy, crazy awards. So it's a chance for the two of them to really let loose and not feel as staid as other award shows. You're going to see a lot of weird winners you don't expect, which is always a lot of fun and head-scratching. Mm-hmm. So it should be a fun night.
They're both very talented. There's no doubt about it that they can pull it off. Now, there's been some news about the hosting job for the Academy Awards.
Much to your chagrin.
Much to my chagrin. Much
Bill
to my
is
chagrin.
Not a fan of Kevin Hart at all, but Ellen DeGeneres is a big fan.
Right. What can you tell us? Is he going to host now?
We'll have to see what happens. So Kevin Hart went on Ellen's show, and not only did she plead with him to go back and consider hosting the show again after he bowed out, but also she actually called up the Academy and told them, listen, you got to let Kevin Hart back. You got to let him host the show. That is not a very popular decision, is what I would say, both on the part of Ellen and Kevin Hart. You don't usually see backlash against her because she's so genial and everybody likes her so much. People were not happy that she went in all in on Kevin Hart, particularly
Bill is not
given
happy.
The homophobic joke scandal. So we'll have to see. We'll have to see if the Academy picks it up, particularly because they're still hostless for the show, and this is very late in the game for them to not have anybody available.
And they've never announced a replacement, so some people were speculating that this have been a stunt. But don't you think mm-hmm. there's still going to be, if he ends up hosting it, I think people are going to be mad rather than happy or relieved that he's come back.
Absolutely. It would be, in my opinion, a very bad decision at this point to go back on that. We're not ready for the Kevin Hart apology tour as of yet. I think they got to let it go for this Oscars, find somebody else, and kind of just move on.
You need somebody funny like Liev Schreiber.
Ray Donovan, funniest show on television every week.
He's always funny.
He was not very good on SNL, was he?
He's not, but his whole thing is he admits that he's not funny. He
took the pressure off.
Right. What about Batwoman? Now, this is an interesting idea. This is the...
For you.
Well, yeah, I guess just for me. I'll be selfish on Batwoman, but what do you... It's going to happen, right?
It looks definitely like it's closer to happening on the CW. This is a spinoff of the Arrowverse shows, Arrow, The Flash, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow. It stars Ruby Rose as Batwoman. She was introduced in a crossover that they had a couple of months ago, and fans were very surprised. People were kind of against it because of the acting ability she's shown off thus far, but she did really well as Batwoman. They're doing a pilot. It looks like it may, in fact, go to series. It's going to be set in a Gotham City after Batman has disappeared. Mm. And one of the big buzzy things about it is she is an out lesbian character. So that would be the first time we've had a superhero like that, not just on television, but I believe on film in general. So that would be a really big deal for fans of the character, fans of superheroes, and fans of the Arrowverse shows.
She's an interesting actress. You know, she started out as a model, and I saw her at first on Orange is the New Black. She was on a season of Orange is the New Black. Most of her body is covered in tattoos. When she mm-hmm. plays Batwoman, are they going to hide that, or will she have the tattoos?
No, they were revealed on the crossover. She had them in full display, and that actually really ties into the character. I'm a big fan of the Batwoman comics. They're very well done and gorgeously drawn in particular. And the character has a lot of tattoos. She's usually depicted as very pale as well, which Ruby Rose wasn't necessarily. But when she's in costume, it's a full-body Batwoman costume with a wig and disguise and everything.
That's what Wendy wears to work every day.
So that covers up the tattoos there. But yeah. She's looked
so
great
pretty.
And she acted
yeah.
great.
Yeah. yeah, excellent. Alex, so good to talk to you again. We're thrilled to have you for 2019, and we'll talk to you in a week.
Sounds good. Happy New Year again.
It's Thanks Alex again. Albin. The website is Decider.com. It's a great website for entertainment. So visit Decider.com.
All right. And news time right now at 11:30. I just want everyone to know we've pretty much been on time almost exactly all
right.
day long.
Yes.
Noted.
Yeah, yeah, but thanks, of course, Ryan. Steve Bertrand is not here. Usually when Bertrand's here, we're way late.
Yeah.
So
maybe he's the reason why.
Thank you for noticing
maybe
that,
I'm the
Ryan.
Reason why.
No, I think so.
There
well.
You.